On this week's episode of the 365 Message Center Show, it's going to be Copilot. Well, not all of it, but what we are highlighting here is we're going to talk about how Copilot is coming to Clipchamp and be able to help remove some of those pauses. Copilot's coming to help you create adoption activities and help people adopt some functionality in Teams. That's going to be interesting. We're going to have a conversation around that. And Copilot's coming to Viva Engage to help you write better content. All of that and more is coming, so stick around. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Daniel, a premium Copilot authentic welcome to you.
Oh,
that
yes.
That I carefully crafted and also injected some of my own verbiage. Oh,
your own voice.
Yes.
Yes. Your fellow travelers on this road of change management in Microsoft 365, we'll talk a little bit more about that, what Daryl's mentioning when we get to the Engage conversation around Copilot helping us with the way we talk. I mean, eventually we're just going to have a chip in our head and it's Copilot's going to speak for us.
Whoa, buddy. I mean, careful now.
So. Anyway, hello everybody. Make sure you give us a thumbs up because what we've already said, great content. Okay, probably not, but we will. So make sure you give a thumbs up on this video. And if you're in the audio podcast, give us a 5-star rating. And hey, everybody, share out the URL. Just copy, paste. I listened to this episode. It was great. And so everybody can follow along. We greatly appreciate it. We're on all the socials that matter at 365MCS. We're there. We'd love to see your comments down below as well on the video if you're watching and engage with us. I'd love seeing people give comments and interacting with each other even. So that's kind of
some people come back, you know, 2 or 3 times and
absolutely
share their thoughts, which is great. That is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, there's something I've noticed, Daniel, when watching YouTube videos that the comments that people might make at a certain point in the video almost being treated like live chat. They're sort of refresh and appear while you're watching the video. It's interesting feature.
I think it is an interesting video feature in the videos. Yeah, absolutely. You know what I also think, Daryl, is we should get into this, and I want you to talk to us about when you're going into the office and how you're going to communicate that to everybody.
Why not? This is a new Microsoft Outlook for Windows and web. Improvements to working hours and location. This is MC761261. It is a feature that we've talked about last year, actually. It was had come in its various forms, and some of us do use it, where we can go into our calendar, we can set at the top of the calendar where we intend to work, whether it be office or remotely. And what appears to be changing in this experience is that you'll be able to add a bit more. And it's interesting also to see that when you make a choice, such as I'm going to work in the office today, that maybe you've booked some meetings and you have not set a location for those, that they're just going to be online meetings. But this new feature we'll make some suggestions that, you're going to be in the office. Do you want to book some meeting rooms for these meetings you intend to be a part of if you're an organizer? And I think that's quite a good feature, Daniel, that you know, if you're going to be in the office and maybe some of your other team members are going to be there too, that you know, you could meet in person in a room.
Yeah, no, and I think that's – I feel like one of the biggest challenges is that whole managing, okay, I'm going to be here this time, not be in the office this time. So in this meeting, I need to be virtual. In this meeting, I need to not be virtual. Managing that whole kind of experience, I would assume that there's going to be a lot of that whole, I'm in the office now, I scheduled this meeting, and then, you look down It's a meeting till one minute until the meeting. Pardon me. Hmm. And you're like, oh, what room is this in? Oh, I didn't schedule a room. Oops. You know, because I'm not used to doing that because I'm usually not at home or not in the office, you know. And so I think this is really nice to be able to go, oh, I am in the office on these days. And it, for it to go, wait a minute, you schedule this meeting. Don't you, do you need a room? I think that's awesome. And just like you mentioned, hey, there's going to be lots of people there from this meeting. Get a room.
And we're not meeting the other time you might use that phrase. Right. But there's some other interesting additions to this too, where if there's a second screenshot for those listening on the podcast, check this out, of course, in the message. But you can see who other people plan to be in the office. So this will be people that you likely work with, of course. And that when you are choosing to work in the office, you can actually indicate which office, which building. For those of us that have multiple buildings or multiple locations that we can indicate, you can do that. For Daniel and I, we might indicate that we're going to be meeting at the kitchen table or the patio table, and we'll have our meeting out there. We haven't gone to the extent, Daniel, have we, of making these bookable resources in our own homes. No,
but that you do need to do that. If you're going to take a meeting in the hammock in the front yard, then yeah, you do need to make that a bookable resource.
Yeah. Hey, I've booked this, family. You've had your turn. It's my turn to lie.
Or
a
neighbor
and...
or cat, you know, random cat that comes along, gets in the hammock. Get out. Move.
What's your neighbor doing in there though?
I don't know.
Get out. Anyway, so this is a definitely interesting feature. Good to see some improvements around this to add a bit more than just I'm going to be in or not. This is, let's see, it's a targeted release. Will begin rolling out late March. So that is, it's rolling out now. Complete late April. General availability will begin rolling out late March and expected to be complete late May. And general availability for GCC, GCC High, and DoD will be early May 2024 and expect to be complete late August 2024. And Daniel, I know that there were some times there that I had to think about what I was about to say, and it wouldn't have really been great engaging video watching Daryl pause and then have some thoughts over the top of his head. I did that again. So yeah, tell me about something that could help us deal with those pauses.
Microsoft Clipchamp. Remove pauses and silences in your videos. MC759462. So this is functionality with coming soon for Clipchamp to be able to edit those videos of yours that you want to remove some pauses and splice that together. These pauses have to be more than 3 seconds, which we'll come to in a second. So 3 seconds is a little bit longer than you think it is when you're looking at
three
video.
3 seconds, actually. Yeah. I'm going to come to it in 3 seconds.
Yeah. It is. So this is rolling out, but after preview, they're rolling out in preview. After preview, they may is the key word here, be available as part of a premium subscription. So if we're talking about M365, which we are, this is where this is what the whole show's about. You can have, there are actually two different licenses for Clipchamp, a standard and a premium, with standard being included in your, I believe it's included in your E3s and E5s. I think that's right. So when this says premium subscription, so it's possible this will roll out and it won't be part of that. You would have to pay for it. Now, but here's my question. What is this for? I know it's for video and I know it's to remove 3 seconds of or more of pausing. Who's going to use this? Is this for meeting recordings? How many meetings have you been in where there's just no talking whatsoever.
For three seconds?
Is this for town hall type presentation meetings, you know, where people, or videos where people have talked and, you know, maybe they're just walking around and not talking and then they talk again? I mean, I don't know. I just don't know what this is for. I don't know. Is this for videos, like you're producing videos? And so you know that this pause thing is there. So you're like, I want to pause here and move on to something else. And so I need to not pause for 3 seconds because I do want the pause to be there. Because if it's more than 3 seconds, then they're going to cut it out. If I use this, I don't know. I just don't understand it. Maybe Daryl, you could help me. I don't know of a scenario where, and they don't tell us, they don't give that in the here. Why would we use this? When would we use this?
The different scenarios you brought up would make it a bit awkward, right? If you've got a town hall and your leader's actually paused for 3 seconds to give dramatic effect, I guess, or maybe they're walking their way across the stage, then you wouldn't want to cut that out. In a meeting, maybe there are some times when there are 3 second pauses or longer. If any suggestions, anyone, Bueller.
But if you're doing that, if you're going anyone, you know, and you,
it's not a 3 second pause, is it?
You feel that, it's not a 3 second pause.
Yeah, But no, the last scenario you said, which if you are deliberately trying to record a voiceover for something, this is where I think this is where the 3 second pause, actually you're anticipating it and almost planning it, because you've got the lines that you might want to say, maybe using a screen recorder, that you're deliberately trying not to move much. And that's something that, you know, we'll say to audio listeners, what other kind of listener is there? Sorry, podcast listeners, that for that 3 second to be taken out, sometimes it does look very jumpy if you're in the middle of moving and being expressive, that your head could move off to the side of the frame or your hands are up or down or whatever. It looks a bit weird. Could be a useful feature, but it's probably going to take some practice to use it effectively.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And now it's not a just do it kind of thing. You can say remove all pauses, but you could also selectively remove. So it's not, you know, it does have some power there. I think, you know, things like, you know, maybe there's like, it is a town hall and someone goes off the stage and someone else comes on the stage and there's just this transition, and maybe that is something, but I don't know. Anyway, enough of that, Daryl, because I don't want to talk about it anymore, other than when it's rolling out, which is late March for public preview, which we just passed. So now rolling out through early July. So they're taking a little bit of time. And worldwide general availability is early July through mid-July of 2024. And remember, it may cost you more money anyway to do this. So just be on the lookout for that. I do, though, want to stick with Copilot, if that's okay, Daryl, with our next message. And let's talk about adoption, shall we?
Well, Daniel, I'm actually gonna reverse things around here. I know that we've got two messages that kind of cover the same thing. I should have said this earlier, but it makes sense to cover the one about the admin center and driving adoption with organizational messages first. Because it's the Copilot one that leverages that same feature. So let's do that. This is Microsoft 365 Admin Center, drive Microsoft Teams adoption with organizational messages, MC 759458. Look, in both cases, it's talking about popping up messages to drive adoption. Teams or Copilot. And perhaps we're going to see these features pop up in other places too. In fact, I think we do, as we drill down into the details. Down the bottom of this message, there is adoption score organizational messages that you can use to configure them. But what are they? What are they? I actually honestly haven't looked at them before. These are ways of being able to, based on behavior or lack of using a feature, you can make messages pop up that will encourage people to use a feature. One of the examples that's given in this this message is maybe you're not using the React feature much within a Teams meeting to show thank you or agreement, or that, you know, wow, amazing, you're doing a great job with this webinar or meeting that you're running. So it's a like a coach mark, a speech bubble that pops up, and it points to the feature and suggests that you take a look at it, learn more, or you can dismiss it and say, I've got it. And this feature can be done within Microsoft Teams. You can go through to the or adoption score, and actually with a role that has been created for this called the organizational writer role. Yeah.
Message writer.
And I don't think it means that you necessarily can write the copy yourself, but that you can use templates to create these messages. Now, the reason Daniel and I put this together with the Copilot message is that it's the same capability. So if you now wander over with me to Copilot in Microsoft Teams, send pop-up messages to users about Copilot, MC759459, and I realize that this is a message you're going to see if you're an organization that's got Microsoft 365 Copilot. That same sort of thing. If you're wanting to drive usage and adoption of Copilot, then from the Microsoft 365 usage reports, you can also configure or trigger these sorts of messages to prompt the use of Copilot. It's going to be looking at individuals' usage, so it's still privacy related. It's not going to, you know, call out that Daniel's not using the license often enough, so we should reassign it. But it is going to, in the background, be looking, is Daniel using some of these features enough? And it's going to prompt him and suggest, hey, you know, try searching the transcript during that meeting, or using the chat feature to use Copilot a bit more. Now, let's just pause there for a bit. Daniel, what do you think of these types of messages? Are they going to be useful? And how often do you think a change manager who might have this organizational message writer role go in and configure these things?
Yeah, I think on a limited basis, it could be helpful. You know, having people interact more in Teams meetings and not just sit there, actually use reactions and give feedback to people that are speaking. And it's great, you know, and I mentioned that because that's what was highlighted here. Mm. But I think from a standpoint of ongoing adoption, it would be great if it wasn't just templates that they could pick from. It would be, hey, we could write these ourselves to say, you know, maybe we want people to be using the collaborative notes feature, right? And maybe we want to encourage that. Maybe we want to say, hey, following up on our announcement in the team meeting or in the town hall last month, we're encouraging everyone to blah, you know, or what, you know, use this feature.
Mm.
I mean, that would be very useful, especially seeing that people are not using it. Hey, remember, we're trying to use this feature. I think that would be helpful, but that's not what this is. You know, this is using templates that Microsoft provides you to be able to put that in there. And I understand kind of why, you know, being blasting these messages across the organization, you know, could be interesting if the wrong people were writing them. But I kind of feel like, you know, it would be a little more useful if we can customize them. And which is with, you know, pretty much every feature that comes out, you know, people say, well, okay, great. How do I customize it? You know, I think that's where the power would be with this.
Yeah. Yeah. The difference between the two messages that we've bundled together, the one on Copilot doesn't have any additional information about how this feature works. So it's, you can't click through and see a bit more about it, but at least it's telling us that it's in the, I guess, the place where you are reading up and seeing how is the usage going within my organization? Are they using Copilot in different ways and in different apps? Whereas the Teams Admin Center one, which talks about driving Teams adoption, does have the additional article, so do check that out. So for Copilot message about the pop-up, general availability is late March, so that's now, complete mid-April. And the Teams adoption one is same thing. You know, it's almost as if they're using the same capability. How about that? Daniel, moving on to another Copilot feature. So this really is sponsored by Copilot, this episode. Yes.
Premium Viva Engage, new Copilot and AI summarization. So this is a feature that actually started rolling out in preview a little while back. So this is not something that's brand new to everybody, but it is talking a little bit more specifically and giving us some details and on how to manage it, but also when it's going to be rolling out to the general public. This is Copilot in Viva Engage, and it is available to those that have a premium Viva Engage license. So that is part of that they have Viva Suite, or they have the employee CNC, the communications and communities license. And so when they do, when you have those licenses and you're going in and you're going to create a message in Viva Engage, then it will help you. It can, Copilot will give you some helpful features or helpful prompts, I guess, to help you write messages. So if you're writing a post, then Copilot can give you some suggestions on how to keep it authentic. You know, keep your you know, what you're saying authentic. Maybe it can tell you are, you know, you're writing in a way that is more, doesn't have a little flair to it. It has very...
You sound like a marketing person. Come on.
Right. You sound like a robot. Maybe... And then the robot says, you sound like a robot. Maybe you need to add a unique perspective and add some story to it.
We're going to have to come up with a different, like, modern version of look at the pot coiling the kettle black.
Right, exactly. Maybe using Copilot to inspire you on what to write. You know, what are some topics that maybe I should write about? I think that's actually an interesting one. Where's it going to give that? The information, is it connected to the graph and therefore it sees that I wrote a document about something or I posted a news item in SharePoint about a topic and then it suggests for me to write, you know, something about that here? Maybe. I don't know.
I think it does say that in the message that it draws the suggestions from what you've already created and Engage.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would like for, you know, to be expanded a little bit. But it's seeing that you write a whole lot in Viva Engage. You just wrote a post in the cat lovers community. And then you go to the, to your project manager's community. Do you want to write about cats here as well?
Good luck project managing cats.
Yes.
Goodness.
Yeah. No kidding. That was my point, you know, hurting cats. So this is, there are some details on, you know, how you can manage this from an admin perspective of turning off Copilot and stuff. So you can read more about that. And of course there's pricing links at the bottom if you want to take a look at, you know, how the pricing goes. So public preview started rolling out in January and completed that in February, 2024. General availability worldwide is now going to be late April 2024 through late May. So it's coming. I think there's a little bit of pause to tweak, but it's coming April and completed in May. So that's pretty exciting. I will tell you something that's not Copilot related that is exciting, and that is some formatting on SharePoint pages, right? That's actually exciting to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe we're going to see a Copilot there one day that'll say, would you like to use heading 2 or 3 here? Maybe. I don't know. SharePoint Online, new heading level options for web parts. This is MC752513, and it's, I think it's going to keep, it's going to make a lot of intranet and internal comms people happy that we've got some tools to make our headings look a bit more consistent around the web parts. So what's happening here? Our web parts, sometimes up until now, we've put them on the page and we're stuck with the heading that's there. It is sometimes, and in the past, been a bit inconsistent around the size and how the font looks, even the alignment. You're trying to get things to line up and you know, we're talking about page setting here and making things look pleasing to the eye. What we'll be able to do is change up the type of heading style that is used for web parts. So imagine you've got a set of different web parts that are, I guess, you could group them together and say that they're related, but they're not as important as the heading one style that you've used on your page. And you could make these web parts use heading style 2, for example, so that it all feels like the information and even the web parts themselves fit into that kind of hierarchical structure. Very nice. The headings will also align with the styles that are currently used in text. So if you're using a heading style, heading style 2 for a web part, then it's going to match the same font size and as you would use heading 2 in a text box. They've outlined the text sizes. Heading 2 will be, for example, will be using 24-point font instead of 28. So I also like this, Daniel, that some of our headings are becoming smaller. They're not ginormous and taking up a whole lot of space on the page.
Yeah, of course. That change is awesome. And for them to, you know, change the text web part headings to kind of align and get it all, you know, with what they're doing here with the web part titles, I think is key because that helps consistency. That's something we talk about a lot on the show, is important.
Consistently talking about consistency. Yes.
But it also helps when you are, some people use those, the text web part as a type of heading, right? You can do that kind of, and as far as like heading over other web parts is what I mean. So, you know, you could do some playing around with pages and how you're styling. Well, it's nice if you select heading 2 or heading 3 that it actually be the same exact size as if you do that for the web part title. Mm. So I like that.
There was actually a workaround, Daniel, that on some web parts where you can hide the title. We have to do that. If you don't, just use a text part.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. If you don't put anything in there, you know, can hide things, and there's other workarounds. But I think that is it's really nice to be able to do this and have it be consistent.
Targeted release begins rolling out early April. Expected to complete mid-April in general availability. That is GCC, GCC High, Worldwide, DoD, USNet, USSEC, and well, that we'll just stop there. There could be other acronyms in the future. We'll begin rolling out mid-April and complete early May. Finishing, Daniel, on something around Power BI. Bring it home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Power BI.
Announcing the retirement of legacy Power BI apps.
Down. Well, we were going to do that segment of Another One Bites the Dust. Is it biting the dust,
yes,
or is it?
Well, kinda. I mean, we've got, so there's a new version of Power BI apps, and So, apps. What are we talking about? Apps are, you can create an app in Power BI that it takes content within a workspace and creates an app, and therefore your users can consume that app in a state that you prescribe, and you, the navigation you prescribe, it has the reports that you want to have on there. And now the new version allows you to have audiences, so you can target your apps to different audiences within your organization. So the ones that didn't do that, if you created an app or for a workspace pre-audience version, then you're going to need to upgrade those, and so that it has that, it's the new version. So you can read about the changes and all of that with a link there. I will say, for this one, I think it's very interesting that they use that. You know how you can insert links? You know, you're not supposed to say, you can, well, that's the way it says it here, apparently. You're not supposed to say, you can read all about it here, and then the word here is the actual link. You're supposed to, you know, have a link outside that. But anyway, so click on the word here, unless, oh, and they do it twice. That's awesome in this message. Mm-hmm. So maybe, and it, hey, maybe it'll be updated by the team and it won't do that anymore. But anyway, so click there, find out a little bit more about that. And then on the second one, it shows you how you can go through the upgrade. It's not that difficult. So, you know, make sure that you get that upgrade done. This May 1st is kind of the timeline you need to get that done. So you have this month, right, April, to manage that upgrade. And I will also say, while we're talking about Power BI, it was announced just a couple of weeks ago, but that they're eliminating the premium per capacity licensing. So this was the first premium premium licensing that they kind of rolled out in Power BI, which basically you could get a reserved capacity for your organization and move your workspaces into that and you utilize that to give you power of CPU kind of power and processing and everything. So they're eliminating it and they're going to more of to what's called the fabric premium capacity. I just want to highlight that we'll, if you are using this premium capacity, you need to transition it because they will eliminate it. And that's going to happen, in July 1st, new customers can't even buy it, of this year. And then the, existing EA customers have a different timeline, but I wanted to highlight that as well. It's another thing that is being eliminated and needing to change. So move to fabric capacities, people. It's actually a different way of looking at how you pay for things as well. So yeah. So that's my Power BI spiel section. That was the Power BI minute for the show. And I think with that, we're gonna call it. We're gonna call this episode, which is episode 327. We're gonna call it quits.
With the episode.
I don't mean the whole, just this episode. Yeah.
No, we're not clickbaity YouTubers that say we're done.
Unless you give us a thumbs up, it's over.
We're over this episode. Maybe you are too. But thank you for joining us anyway. And if you've made it to the end of this episode, you've watched it right the way through, listened right the way through, good job. Well
and
done.
And tell us in the comments. Hey, yeah. I listened all the way through. We'll give you a great thumbs up.
Hang on. We're asking them for thumbs up. Do we give them thumbs up for their thumbs?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Thumbs very for good. Thumbs.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. We'll see you in 328? 368? What,
you can do
what
maths.
Are we on again? I can.
Yes. 328
will
be next week.
It's 368.
Thanks, everybody.
My goodness.
Bye.
See you.